We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
You can add your voice if you want. God, we love you. Jesus, we praise you. We glorify you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Greetings to everyone in the room, you beautiful people, you. I love you guys. And I love you also watching and listening online. A special greeting to all our online streamers, live streamers. Please leave us a comment, like right now. Go ahead, leave us a comment. Let us know that you're there. Let us know where you are when you're watching this, okay? We love you guys. We love to know that you are there. This is Redemption Church. If anyone out there somehow didn't know, this is Redemption Church of Plano, Texas. We are not a mega church, but we are a mighty church. And my name is Chris Fluitt. God bless you as we share the Word of God together. We're in the final week of our sermon series entitled The Same Jesus. And I encourage you to look back over the previous weeks in this series and be reminded that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. All the previous weeks of this series, they can be found at redemptionplano.com, YouTube, Facebook, podcast, all those things. There's probably other things out there we don't even know, but somehow we're there. So go find us there. Have you ever noticed that things feel better after you've brought Jesus into it? Anybody? Have you ever noticed that a room feels better after someone worships Jesus and calls on Jesus and loves Jesus and brings Jesus? Have you ever noticed the conversation change when you start talking about Jesus and beautiful things start coming up and you feel energized where you were feeling kind of funky? Now you feel alive. I'm telling you that there is power when we lift up Jesus. And that should be no surprise because he said himself, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. So one moment, can we just lift up Jesus right where we are? Jesus, I praise you. Jesus, I love you. I glorify you. I want to lift you up. I want to declare your name is above every name. I want to give you all the praise and glory. And God, I give you permission to speak to me, Jesus, right now. In Jesus' name, everyone said in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, I want to tell you the same Jesus has the same plan. Can you say that? The same Jesus, the same plan. The Gospels is not a departure from God's plan. That's actually an argument some people make. A lot of Hebrews make that argument that somehow the New Testament is a departure from everything in the Old Testament. I want to tell you that the Gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not a departure from God's plan. It is the fulfillment of God's plan. Without that, his plan doesn't come to fruition. Jesus did not bring a new plan. Jesus fulfilled the original plan. Jesus was not a diversion from the plan or a distraction. Jesus was not a plan B after plan A failed. No, God has always had a plan, and the plan has always been Jesus. Yes. Amen. John chapter 1, verse 1. You've read this verse so many times, you maybe not realize that that's what this verse is proclaiming. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word, that is a really interesting idea in your Bible. We should understand that Jesus is the Word, but do we understand what it means for him to be the Word? Do we really understand what that means? Well, John the disciple chose a really interesting Greek expression. Now, don't fall asleep when I say the word Greek. Y'all wake up, snap out of it. He uses an interesting Greek expression to describe our Jesus. He uses the Word, and in Greek, it's this phrase, it's Logos. Everyone said Logos. 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 John uses Logos to begin his book about Jesus. In the first phrase of his gospel, the very first utterance that he is making in this sentence, John wants us to know that Jesus is Logos. Yes. Logos is where we get the word logic. Yes. Yes. Right. And Greece was going through a whole revolution of logic and philosophy, and he handpicked a very hip word for its time, a word that they were all using this word and thought big of. And he pulled that out and said, you know what? That's who Jesus is. He is the logic of God. He is Logos. Logos means mind, it means thought, and it means idea. It means, say it, mind, it means thought, it means idea. In the beginning was the thought, the idea, the mind. From the very beginning, I want to tell you that God had a plan. That's what a logos is. It's a thought. Have you ever had a plan? Well, you had to think about it. You had to use your mind, and you have to have an idea. That's what the logos is. I want to revamp this verse for you. In the beginning was the plan, and the plan was with God, and the plan was God. Verse 14, the plan put on flesh and dwelt among us. That's what John 1:14 is talking about. The word, the logos, the plan. The very mind that was in the beginning, the very thought that was in the beginning was God, and God put on flesh and walked among us. The same Jesus, the same plan. The plan of God has always involved a lamb. Everyone said a lamb. The plan is a lamb. When mankind sinned in the garden, God's plan for a lamb was revealed. In Genesis, a sacrificial lamb was required to cover the sins of an individual. That's one person, y'all. A lamb would cover the sins of one person. In Exodus chapter 12, a sacrificial lamb at the first Passover was required to cover the sins of not just an individual, an entire family. So it's gone from an individual to a family. And then after their exodus from Egypt, right in the middle of the wilderness, we see a sacrificial lamb cover the sins of not just an individual, not just a family, but an entire nation. In just a few chapters in your Bible, God has revealed this plan for a lamb, and it has covered the sins of an individual, and it still does. And it covers the sins of a family, and it still does, and it covers the sins of a nation, and it still does. God is showing us the plan for a single lamb whose blood will cover individual, family, and nation. Did you ever see that before? Isn't that amazing? That's right there in your Bible. It's God's plan from the beginning. Then one day, Leroy gets better. John the Baptist declares these words. John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of an individual, the sins of a family, sins of a nation, the sin of the world." Who was he talking about, y'all? He was talking about Jesus. He declares that Jesus, look at him. He's the Lamb of God. And he has brought about the fullness of God's plan. God's plan was never just to forgive the sins of a few people. Not to just forgive the sins of the right families. Not just to forgive the sins of the right nations. But to forgive the sins of everyone in the world. God's plan was a lamb. Somebody thankful for it? Are you happy about it? And this is what's so cool. The lamb plan was never really about a lamb in and of itself. No, really the plan is a man. See, the plan was introduced as a lamb, but the fulfillment was never going to be in a lamb. No, the plan was going to be fulfilled in a man. You see, the plan is a man who would lay down his life like a lamb. My goodness, I feel so good in the house of God today. It must be because we're lifting up Jesus. Isaiah 53 and 7 says this, "He," was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Jesus is what the lamb was all about. He is the fulfillment of it. You see, that plan came in the beginning. And if you just heard the words that God spoke, you got to take a lamb and slay it, you might think that that is the fullness of his plan. It wasn't. That was leading us to the fullness of his plan. And that is who Jesus Christ is. The plan is a lamb, but the plan is also a man. The plan of a single sacrificial lamb covering the sins of individual, family, nation, and world is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the plan. Jesus Christ is the lamb. Jesus Christ is the man. Look, somebody say, he's the man, yo.
He's the man.
1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 says this, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for some people."
No.
Pardon me, I just got to just nail that in. He didn't just lay down his life for the people that live in the nice houses, or just the people that agree with us, or the people that go to our church, or the people that live in our nation. No, he laid down his life for as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. The same Jesus is the Logos, the plan of God. My goodness, I love that verse in 1 Timothy 2. That's a verse you ought to just take and write down, and you ought to study out what mediator is. If you want to have a Bible study on that, we'll do that anytime, but we got to move on today. Is that all right? But the plan doesn't end at the man Jesus Christ. You see, it could have. He's that awesome. It won't get better than him. But I'm telling you today that the plan does not end at the man Christ Jesus. The plan is people. Can you say that? People?
People.
God's plan has always been to work within and have a relationship with people. Yeah. He created people in the garden. He created a man and a woman, and he had relationship with both of them. He gave purpose to both of them. He walked in the cool of the day with both of them. He begs Cain, Genesis chapter 4. And Cain is about to do something awful. But God works in this person. He tries to get him to avoid sin and have a good relationship with God and his brother right there in Genesis 4. He walks with Enoch. Enoch gets so close to him that God just takes him on up to heaven. He saves the entire world through a man named Noah. He chooses Abram and Sarai and creates a covenant promise with them. He works within those people not to just bless them, but through them, the entire world would be blessed. Those are his words. He touches a scoundrel, a trickster, a liar named Jacob, and he makes him a mighty nation, a prince with God. He takes Moses, a stutterer, who ran as a coward, and guess what? He uses him to march back into the very place of his biggest defeat and become the deliverer of his people. He uses a woman named, let me tell you, God doesn't just use men. Y'all listen to me. God uses a woman named Deborah to be a successful general. She was a general over men, and she won them victory in the battlefield. He picks a tall man named Saul, and he makes him king. And he picks a young shepherd boy and makes him a giant-killing king. He uses ordinary people, and he makes them, I'm going to give you some P words, patriarchs, priests, potentates, and prophets. And these are all people, and he works within them. He places them in important positions. He puts important messages in their hearts. He sends angels to them. He wakes them up. He gives them dreams. He sets them free from dungeons. He puts them through fiery furnaces and carries them out. He puts them in places where lions are going to eat them, but he shuts the mouths of these lions. He works through people. His plan is people. Do you ever hate people? Right? Yeah? I remember this. I remember talking to the Lord. I was probably about 12, 13 years old. I was having trouble in school. They just thought I was too cool for school. They were just having trouble with me. No, I was having trouble. I remember I said these words to God. I said, God, I love you, but I hate people. And I meant it. I meant that I loved him and that I meant that everybody else can just go jump off a pier. That's what I meant. But I remember the Lord speaking to me. And he said, you can't love me if you don't love them. And I can't use you if you don't love them. And I understood right there at the tender age of 13, oh my gosh, I've been doing this wrong. My love for Jesus ought to cause me to love other people because his plan is not just for me. It's for people. And would you believe some of the very biggest knuckleheads in my life, God has reached down, turned their life around, set them free. Some of them have preached in this very altar. Because God's plan is people. He walks up to fishermen, tax collectors. He walks up to the lowest of the low. He walks up to people of ill repute, men and women. And he calls them, follow me into the plan. He still does that. God's plan has always been to work within and have relationship with people. I'm going to share with you one of my favorite verses. Every time I read this verse, it just blows me away every time how good God is. Yeah. Maybe it'll hit you the same way. I don't know. It hits me so big. It was a huge revelation for me. Acts chapter 17, verse 25. Paul is at a place called Mars Hill. He's in Greece. He's preaching about Jesus. Great place. But he talks about God right here. He says, and he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. What does he give us? Life and breath and everything else. From one man, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any of us. This is his plan written right here. He gave everyone life and breath and everything else. Why? Well, that's part of his plan. Stay tuned. Created one man, and of all the nations, he created one man. He created one man to subdue the earth. Yes. What's that about? Well, that's his plan. You just hold tight. And he allowed us to inhabit the land. In fact, he reaches into history, and there are a few things he absolutely marks out with his sovereign will. He marks out time in history. Yes. We see that. That there was a time for the cross of the Romans to show up. Because it was the time for Jesus Christ to show up. There is coming a time in Revelation when an Antichrist is going to come. He's going to rise up and he thinks he's coming in his time. No, he's coming in God's time. And he's going to rise up nations, right? Guess what? God's already drawn out the boundaries. Dummy Satan, you just don't. You think you're doing all this. He has drawn out the boundaries of all the nations, and he has drawn out some things in time. God did all of this. This is his plan right here. That's a lot to do. This is why he did it. His plan was so that mankind would seek him and perhaps reach out for him. God did everything. God went to the cross. God set up this lamb plan. God did all of this so that you, perhaps, there's a huge perhaps hanging right now. Will you perhaps seek him and find him today? He's done all this because his plan is people, and you are that person. He is reaching for you. Is today your perhaps day? Well, perhaps today be the day you reach out to the Lord. His plan is about people. Let's clear up some confusion about God's plan. God is not after money or power. He's not running a Ponzi scheme or any kind of scam. I'm going to get their money today. God's not about that. God is not about your vote to stay in office. My goodness, politicians, they will say anything to get that vote. God's not after your vote to stay in office. God is not trying to build more buildings. Churches get really focused on buildings. God doesn't need another building. Sometimes God's like, why are y'all building that building for? Y'all could have given water to Africa. You could have clothed homeless children. What? Nothing wrong with buildings. We're in a nice building here. I'm thankful for it. But God is not in the real estate game. It's not in it. Location, location, location. God doesn't need that. He's everywhere. He's all locations at once. He's got all the locations covered. My gosh. God is not after your worship. He's not, oh yes, sing louder to feed my ego. Oh, I love it when they sing that song. God's not after that. That's not his plan. Not his plan, y'all. God is not trying to control your life. He's not trying to control your actions. He's not trying to control your thoughts. You know, you have 1984, that book by George Orwell, right? And it's like Big Brother is watching, trying to control every thought, trying to control every act. Anything that steps out of line, they just remove it and it's no more. That's not God. That's not his plan. That's man's plan. Let me tell you, the forces of this earth are trying to control your thoughts. They're trying to control your actions. They're trying to control your life. And you still turn on the TV to watch those commercials, by the way. Yes, they're trying to control your every thought and action. Even the ones that are like, oh, we're all in this together. Right? They want you to come down and buy their shoes right now. That's not God's plan. He's not selling you anything. God is not trying to kill all the bad people who don't think like him. No, that's what man does. That's not what God does. We all have bad in us. And none of us think like him. He says, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. None of that is God's plan. No, God's plan is to have a relationship with whoever wants to have a relationship. He says over and over in the New Testament, whosoever will. To feed the hungry, that's what he wants to do. To give water to the thirsty. Those are his words in the New Testament. Yes. To comfort the distressed. To heal the broken. Salvation to all who call upon his name. Yes. That's his plan. That's what he wants. He wants to give power to the weak. You won't find that in this world. No, you've got hungry men just holding on to all the power they got. God wants to find the weakest among us and fill us with eternal, supernatural power. Oh, that's his plan. He wants to give light to those in darkness. He wants to give children to the barren. He wants to give a way of escape to the lost. His plan is people, and not just people that are like us. All people. You probably knew this song if you grew up in Sunday school. It said it best. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Because Jesus loves the little children of the world. God has done all of this. All of it. Everything for people. That means that we, you and me, we are his plan. Revelation 22 and 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. Right. The Spirit's yelling, come. And you know what? The one who hears then should join in yelling the same word. Come. Do you understand that church? The Spirit called us to come to Him. And once we've come to Him, we should now turn to the rest of the world and yell, come. Come receive the water of life. Come receive everything that you're longing for. Come receive it. Come receive it. That's Revelations 22:17, y'all. That's the end of the book, y'all. That's right at the end of everything. Because that is the fulfillment of God's plan. John 3:16. You got to know this one, right? For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him, through His Son. In your Bible, there is a word for the people who answer the call and join in His plan. I want you to think about what that word might be. There is a name for the people who are called out of darkness into His marvelous light. There is a name for the people who are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, and a peculiar people. There is a name for these people, and that name is the church. Say it, the church. The word is church. The church is God's plan. The church is a group of called out people. That is what the word church means. It's the word ecclesia. A group of called out people. You are not the church all by yourself. The church is a group. It's a collective. It's an assembly. It was never just all about you. If you think it's all about you, you are not operating as the church. But not only is it a group of people, it's a group of people that have been called out. They have been chosen. They have been part of His plan, and now they are operating in His plan. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation. Right there, that's the word ecclesia, right there. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. The church is God's plan for working in the lives of people, saving people from sin, getting them to turn around and find purpose for their life. The church is not a building, but a people. The church is not a denomination, but a people. The church is not a system of rules and beliefs, but a people. The church is not a service, but a people. It's not just gathering together with a choir and cool music and a sermon. No, it is people. The same Jesus has the same plan. I told you that, right? Y'all remember that? All right. Same Jesus has the same plan. His plan has always been about people. And His plan is revealed in the New Testament in the church. Paul says it's a revelation. Paul says it's a mystery revealed only at the proper time. That's what he says about the church. And redemption, I really need you to impress me with your Bible knowledge for a moment. I was thinking about this today. I need you to impress me with your Bible knowledge. I'm going to ask you a question. It's really important to me that somebody knows the answer to this question. Here it is. In what chapter of your Bible is the church born? Oh, somebody shout it out. It makes your pastor happy.
Acts 2.
Oh, you can even be a little louder. Acts 2. Acts chapter 2, that chapter is the birth of the church of Jesus Christ. It's in Acts chapter 2. You want to know what the church is all about? Heaven forbid, don't look at us. Don't look around at this world. Don't look at the televangelists on TV with their creepy eyes. My gosh, what is that? Have y'all ever noticed the televangelists with the creepiest of eyes? What is that about? Woo, give me the heebies and the jeebies all together. No. You want to know what the church is supposed to be like? Look in Acts chapter 2. All right. Because this is God's plan coming to fruition in the church. The church was born. They were born of the Spirit.
Yes.
They were born again
yes.
In Acts chapter 2. That church that was born in Acts chapter 2 is what God plans on using in the world today. The same church, the same Jesus, the same church. Would you say that with me? The same Jesus, the same church. We need the same church that was built by Jesus himself. You realize that? Jesus himself says that he's going to build the church. You know that verse? It's Matthew 16 and 18. On this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell, the gates of Hades, will not overcome it. The church, the world, doesn't just need a church. Y'all listen to me. The world doesn't just need another church. The world needs the same church. That same Acts chapter 2 church. That church was spirit-filled. They were baptized with the Spirit. They spoke in a new tongue, and the word started popping out of them like crazy. They were gospel preaching and Bible believing. Every message was about Jesus. Every sermon was about, you read it in Acts chapter 2 and onward. It says, and he got up and he started preaching Jesus to them. Philip is running for his life, but while he's running for his life, he runs to a city named Samaria and he preaches Christ to them. Paul runs into the disciples of John. He says, have you been baptized in the name of Jesus? This is what the New Testament church was all about. They fed the widows and the orphans, the outcasts of society. They took them under their wings and they loved them. This church in Acts chapter 2 couldn't just pass by people in need. There's this place in Acts chapter 3 where there's a lame man laying beside a gate, beautiful. What's this gate attached to? The temple. The place of worship. The place where people would come to worship God. And there's a lame man outside that gate. And worshiper after worshiper would just walk on by. Maybe they throw something in there. But they'd walk right on by. But one day, Peter and John, filled with the Spirit, born again, believers, the church of Jesus Christ, built by him himself, they walk up to that place of worship, but they pause. They couldn't walk past this man. I'm telling you, the true church of Jesus, the same church, the church of Jesus Christ, needs to not just walk past needs. There needs to be something in us that causes us to stop, that causes us to minister, that causes us to bring Jesus into the need. That church was brave. That church was bold. That church was not full of itself. It was selfless. That church was generous. That church was moved on. There are places in your Bible where they were so moved on, they're like, I'm going to sell my property and I'm going to give it to the work of God. There's one place, I love this place. It's in Antioch. These aren't first generation Christians. But they were praying one day and the Spirit of God moved upon a prophet named Agabus. And he says, you know what? Back in Jerusalem, they're going to face a famine. And you know what that church did? Here's what they didn't do. They didn't say, well, that's really bad news. No, that church immediately took up an offering. And they weren't a wealthy people. They gave out of their need. They gave and they went to Jerusalem before the famine ever came. Listen to me, because the church today doesn't move when there is a need, but the church of Jesus Christ actually moves before there is a need. My goodness, we need that kind of church in the world today. Lord, speak to us like that. This church was not argumentative, but they were obedient to the word of God. The word of God had the final say. This church was in love with Jesus, and this church refuses to stop talking about Jesus. They just wouldn't shut up about Jesus. In Acts chapter 4, remember in Acts chapter 3, the lame man's healed? Acts chapter 4, Peter and John, after having spoke to that lame man, Peter and John were jailed and beaten by the religious people. My goodness, can't that preach? Those same people that were worshiping, walking past the lame man, are now beating Peter and John. Reminds me of what Jesus says at one point. They're trying to cast stones at Jesus. And he says, "For which of my good works do you stone me?" These people are doing a good work, and they're trying to kill them. That's what religion does. I'm sorry. You listen to me. That's what religion does. But that's not what the Church of Jesus Christ should ever be about. They're beaten by these two factions called the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The religious leaders, they were bothered. Why were they bothered? Acts chapter 4, verse 2. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Religious people may become angry when you preach the same Jesus. Religious people might get a little crazy angry when you preach that Jesus still loves people, that Jesus is still coming back, that there is actually sin that Jesus wants to free you from. Religious people get all kinds of crazy. There are some religious people, you want to get them really mad, you talking like this. God wants to fill everyone with the Holy Spirit and them all speak in tongues. There, I said it. You listen to me. Some people get really angry. They say, "No, he doesn't do that." Oh, you don't believe in the same Jesus that I do. I'm talking about the same Jesus who filled that Acts chapter 2 church with his Spirit, y'all. My goodness. There, I just went and did it. They were bothered at the preaching of Jesus Christ. Yes. My. Verse 7, same chapter, Acts 4. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. "By what power or what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, there are times where you can just be in the worst kind of situation, but the Spirit like just stands up inside of you. Yes. If you've never experienced that, you need to experience that. That's what's going on right here. This Holy Spirit fills him, just stands him right up. And he said to them, man, you talk about guts. Get ready. He says, "Rulers and elders of the people," verse 10, "know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed." The man laying lame at the gate, beautiful. It's by Jesus that this man is healed. Verse 12, salvation. Remember, they were asking about that name. They were bothered at the teaching about the name and the power of Jesus. He says this. Oh, guts. Lord, give us guts. God, give us courage like this. He's standing before people that could end his life, throw him in jail, put him on a cross. He looks at them in the eyes and he says, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." He talked about the name of Jesus, y'all. Oh, the very thing that bothered them, that name. Talking about that one that we tried to kill, but he rose again. We can't find his body anywhere. That name, it bothered them to death. And he didn't care. He said the name anyway. And he declared the truth about that name. It is the only name that saves. You listen to me, it will make some people mad. But I will tell you this, in the love and in the courage of the Holy Spirit, the name of Buddha will not save. The name of Muhammad will not save. The name of Krishna will not save. There is no other name. You can't name a president. You can't name a world leader. You can't name an antichrist. Even if somebody does a miracle, I don't care who they are. You listen to me. There is one name that saves. It is the name of Jesus. And I say it with all my heart. It's the name of Jesus. Oh man, it's about to get good. Verse 13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized that they were unschooled. Can you imagine these people, these really just uppity people? They're unschooled. They haven't gone to our schooling. They speak with like an Harvard-type accent, right? These ordinary men, unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note. What did they take note of? I want you listen to me. You just stay here. We'll let Facebook handle Facebook. The world takes note at your schooling.
Yes.
The world takes note of your stature and your title. But these people, they were astonished, took note, because these people had obviously been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. They say the same Jesus. They saw the same Jesus in Peter and in John. These people were around Jesus, and I think they felt the same presence of Jesus. Church, that's what the world needs. We need to be the same as Peter and John. We need to have the same Jesus in us. We need to have that same Holy Spirit in us. We need to be that same church. There needs to be people that look at us and say, whoa, these people know Jesus.
Yeah.
Acts 4:17. But to stop this thing, they didn't know what to call it. We'll just call it a thing. This thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name. They beat them. They send them on their way, Peter and John, and they tell them, don't even speak that name of Jesus again. They wanted them, and guess what? This is where the spirit of compromise can come in, because they could have gone around just trying to heal people still. That's not what they were mad about. They could have kept going to worship God. That's not what they were mad about. They could have come and had their prayer meetings. That's not what they were mad about. They were mad about the name. They were mad about the name of Jesus. If somebody asks you to stop saying that name, what are you going to do? Oh, you better not stop. You better not stop. Jesus is the only name that's saved. There's no other name. No other name. That very evening, the church gathered together in prayer. Acts 4:29. This is them praying. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. I want you to get this picture. It would have been really easy to just cool it. Well, we don't want to offend people, and we're not out to offend people. But let me tell you, you can compromise because someone might be offended. We ought to just totally give up the entire playing field and not say a single word. Give up the marketplace. Give up the culture. Give up our schools. There are people that even want you to give up your kids. You listen to me. There are people right now trying to fight for legislation that make it a crime for you to teach your children about Jesus Christ. It's happening right now. If you don't know about it, wake up. It is happening. But these people right here, they didn't cower. They went straight into prayer, and they prayed for more. God, give us more miracles. We just had that one miracle. We want more. We want more signs. We want more of your wonders. And we want you to do it all through your name, the name of Jesus. We want you to lift up that name higher. We got beat for that name today, and it was the most high honor of our life. Let the name of Jesus be lifted higher than ever before. That's the prayer of this church. And when they prayed that, the whole place shook. And they were filled with that spirit. They'd already been filled before, Acts 2. They're filled again. Can I tell you, the church of Jesus Christ needs to be filled continually by that Spirit. We need that Spirit shaking things up. And then we need to leave out of this place speaking the Word of God more boldly than ever before.
Amen.
The same Jesus is among us today.
Yes.
That same name does the exact same powerful things it did when Peter and John called on that name. We need to be His same church today.
Thank you, Lord.
Can I, real quick, I don't have a long time to do that, but I'm going to do it. Here it is. We need the same doctrine of that church.
Yes.
We need to be that same church in doctrine.
Yes.
There are some things that have crept in the church before any of us were born. There are some phrases that don't even belong in a church, but they're in every church. There are unbiblical terms. I'll just spit one out. Sinner's prayer. Sinner's prayer. No, in churches, they are leading people to the front. You repeat after me this prayer, and now you're saved forever. And poof, you never see those people again because they were told they were saved forever no matter what they do. That is totally not biblical. That is totally not the same church that we read about here. That church preached repentance. That church preached baptism in the name of Jesus. That church insisted that people be filled with the Spirit. And that church didn't give up on people. It made disciples. And it made disciples so good that those disciples made disciples who did so good that they made disciples. And they spread throughout the entire world. That was that church. We need to be the same Jesus because we have the same Jesus. We have the same plan. We need to be the same church. We need to be about two things. Here are the two things: Jesus and people.
All right.
We need to be about knowing Jesus and making Him known. Having that relationship with Jesus and having that relationship with people where they come to know the Jesus who saved us, who called us out of darkness. Last thing I'm going to tell you as we're drawing to a close. Kids, right there on that front row. Don't make me call you down. You stop. Jesus has plans for you.
All right.
You receive that. Jesus has plans for you. In fact, we've been talking about His plan from the beginning. You are His plan from the beginning. He's done all of this so that perhaps you would reach out for Him. So that you would seek Him. So do you want God today? Will you seek Him today? Do you want God to use you? When was the last time you bowed at an altar and asked the Lord to use you? I would tell you we need to bow at an altar a lot more. And ask Him to use us. Ask Him to minister through us. Redemption Church, I want us to be used of God. I want us to be like John and Peter. The Pharisees could tell that these men had been with Jesus. I want that to be our testimony.
All right.
We need the same Jesus working in our lives. We do three things every time we come together. We worship the Lord together.
Yes.
We worship Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We receive the Word of God together. That's who Jesus is, the Logos, the Word of God. And then we come talk to God together. Jesus is right here for us to talk to. Why don't you come right now? Come on, go ahead. I'm going to start praying over everybody. You listening, watching online, I want you to get a hold of Jesus right where you are. I want you to start to call out to Him. You are in His plan. He wants to use you for your glory, for His glory. He wants to do powerful things in you. Do you want that? Ask Him to use you right now. Oh, ask Him to make you filled with His Spirit. Ask Him to make you more bold in Jesus' name. Father, I thank You right now for everybody in this room, everybody watching, listening, everybody, wherever they are. Lord, I thank You that You are with them. Lord, the same Jesus who did all those powerful things, move, minister in our lives right now. That same Jesus, Lord, that built that church, build us up to be your people right now in Jesus' name. Lord, touch our children, Lord. I pray, Lord, that our children would call on you. Lord, that our children would have a revival, that people would be saved in this city, in this county, in this nation, God, in this state, God. Lord, use us, minister to us, God. Come on, church, let's call out Jesus. Let's worship him. Let's lift up his name in Jesus' name. Lord, we love you, God. We thank you, God, for your goodness. Come on, church, let's talk to him. If you want special prayer in...
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.